You're listening to Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. Stay connected by rating, subscribing, and commenting on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And now for this week's episode. Hey guys, it's Eva, and I'm here with another episode of Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. If you are listening for the first time, welcome. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening to my voice on. Also, if you have like a few extra seconds, go ahead, take that time to leave a comment, review, rate, all that great stuff, because per usual, that is highly appreciated. So let's get into this. We are finally discussing Handmaid's Tale. I know I have been like, I'm going to talk about this show. I told you guys I binged the first two seasons, and I was like, just in time for the third season, I was like, do I do like a pre type of show where I just talk about the first two seasons, what I thought about it, or do I just talk about it all at once? And Handmaid's Tale is a show for me, and it seems like, especially this season, a lot of people seem to have been on the same wavelength as far as how they felt about this third season. But The Handmaid's Tale has always been one of those shows that has always been on my to-watch list, and I don't really talk about my to-watch list that much because, like I say, you guys, if you listen to me, then you know I watch a lot of stuff. I watch a lot of movies. I watch a lot of TV shows. I watch a lot of stuff, a lot of things, and you would be surprised to know that about, I would say about 40 to 50% of the things I watch never make it to the show to Currently Binging. And there are a lot of reasons for that. So I have a long currently watching list and a long to watch list just in general, because I talk about TV shows and movies. And I really love to talk about TV shows and movies. Lots of people like to tell me all the shows and movies that they watch and love watching that they think that I should watch because they think that I will like it. So I just have these long lists. So, and because I have these long lists, a lot of times I end up watching things way after the fact. And it's like, do I do the episode? And then like, if people somehow want to find it, they can find it. But that's neither here nor there. I say all that to say that The Handmaid's Tale has always been on my to-watch list. It took me two seasons to finally get to it. Another part of that was also because The Handmaid's Tale is on Hulu, and I have many a stories about all of these different streaming services and cable and all that stuff that I'm paying for that you guys have heard me talk about in previous episodes. But long story short, I did not actually start consistently paying for Hulu until after the first season of Marvel's Runaways, because I watched that show and I was like, okay, like you guys are really going to force me to get Hulu. And so I did the free trial after that show aired, which is how I do things. Like I'll usually get the free trial after it ends so I could just binge it all. Because I mean, hello, it's called Currently Binging. So clearly I have no problems with binging entire seasons of things. But so I was like, I did that. And then after that, I was just like, okay, we're just going to keep Hulu because we all have that family member who has one of the streaming services that we try to watch for free, but my mom got rid of her. So I was just like, whatever. So we kept it. And then finally another reason, it's so many reasons, it's multiple reasons of why I put off The Handmaid's Tale. But another reason was also because every time people talked about The Handmaid's Tale, those people who watched it, it just seemed like it came with this heaviness of despair. And I was like, you guys know my genres. I'm like a thriller, a mystery. I do some dramas. I love me some action. I don't do rom-coms. Like those are pretty much my solid viewing type of genres. And so when we talk about dramas, because I used to be really heavy into dramas, and to the point that I felt like a lot of them were just like heavy and had this weight on them. So when I would hear people talk about The Handmaid's Tale, it just seemed like it was drenched in sorrow. And I was like, I don't know if this is something that I want to watch. And then of course I won all these awards, so finally I watched it. I was like, we're gonna do this case by case, because you guys know I like to do things case by case. We're gonna do this episode by episode. We're gonna start with episode one in season one. This was a few months ago. Episode one, season one. And if we don't like it, Eva, we're gonna cut it off. And honestly, I binged the first two seasons in very fast. I don't even think I came up for air, to be honest. And a lot of people talk about how they think the first season especially is hard to watch. And there were a lot of hard moments, and I think there are a lot of hard moments just in general throughout the series. But I was able to watch it and it didn't affect me the way that I thought it was gonna affect me. And I also feel like for some reason with this show, and I don't know if it's just the state of the type of world that we're in where everyone just seems to be sensitive times 3,000. Every season seems to not be as shocking, I guess you can say. It's not like they're trying to shock us with what's going on. Because the first thing is we see a lot of the raping, we see a lot of the mistreatment and abuse towards the women and all these killings and deaths. The second season, not as much, but we still do see it. The third season, I feel like we actually didn't really see anyone get raped. Because even when we saw June and her commander at the end, mind you guys, I also don't have notes on this because I'm talking about three seasons and I kind of generally know what I want to talk about. But so please forgive me if I mess up some names or whatever. But we do see Commander Lawrence. See, it comes to me eventually. We don't see her there, that sexual interaction, which I thought was interesting, and I actually appreciate because like, I honestly don't want to see it. I generally don't want to see it anyway, but we didn't see that. So I thought that was something that stood out to me, like as I was thinking about over this season and comparing it to seasons one and two. But let's talk about some of these characters. So I will tell you the thing that I think, and you guys know, I don't do rom-coms, and this is not even anywhere similar to a rom-com, but there was just so much heated chemistry between June and between Nick, and it was just like to the point that they didn't even have to say a word or talk to each other. They could just be in the same room, and it was just like this strong presence of just sexual tension that just seemed to seep off of the screen. And so I was like, every time they came on, like that was probably my favorite relationship and my favorite parts of the first season, and even the second season, because kind of half of the second season. But that was kind of my favorite parts of those first two seasons, was just them in the room together. And it made it like, I don't know if it's because it was like sexy, but tension and kind of dangerous. So I don't know. And then they had like the actual actors, Elizabeth Moss and Max Minghella. See, you guys know I'm gonna mess up names, so we're not even gonna do it. But they actually had good chemistry on the screen. And so I was just like, okay. But then we got to the third season and we saw Nick a few times, a handful of times. And I'm just like, okay, what is going on? Where is he at? He's now officially a commander. He got sent off to, and we learned that he's been kind of lying to June this whole time. But he gets sent, I don't even think you can say he gets sent. Well, I guess you could say he got sent. He gets sent to Chicago and he's like leading his own like army of people because he was a part of the initial attacks that happened on to create Gilead. So that whole thing, so that just all of a sudden changes that whole dynamic between Nick and June. So whenever we see Nick again, because we did not see him for like the last half of this season. So whenever we see him again, we know that it's going to be completely different between them, just based on his history. But he was missed. And I know this came up in, I was reading the article, and it was an interview with the creator of Handmaid's Tale, and he was talking about how he was talking about a lot of things actually, and a couple of them I'm actually going to touch on because I have them in my semi notes because they're not really actual notes. But creator Bruce Miller, he was talking about just what happened in the finale of season three, what that means for the future. And also talked about some of the characters as far as being what people want to see or what they would have liked to do. But a thing that came up is that a lot of people were saying they wanted to see more Nick. They felt like he could have been, his story could have been better done this season because we didn't really see a lot of him. And so he was talking about how we do follow a lot of people who end up leaving Gilead, but it's just gotten to the point where it's just too many people, too many storylines that they can't follow everyone. And we're going to talk about that because so we have Gilead, we have all this stuff happening in Gilead, and then we have the people who have escaped Gilead and they're in Canada. So we have all these different storylines, and we sometimes get glimpses of them, and it's like, okay, but it's not a lot, and it somehow kind of ties back to what's happening in Gilead. It's kind of like sometimes we might get a whole episode of one of our people who are in Canada, and I feel like they did that a lot in the beginning of the season, and it kind of, I think, helps the season breathe a little bit from what's happening inside Gilead. We kind of get to do like a little bit of flashback, and I've done that throughout the series in general. But the problem is that this is a show where, and I tried to look it up to see if anyone in the on the team for the show has mentioned or talked about around about what they think they would say would be a complete series, as in how many seasons they think that this show could go for, because so Handmaid's Tale was renewed for season 4, and just how we are, and we're gonna get into season 3 because I have a we're gonna talk about the nitty-gritty of season 3, but I feel like the way that we are going and how things are shaping up, I just don't personally know if we can go past, I don't even think we should have went past like a season 3, but like even going past a season 4, because it gets to the point where it's like, okay, but seriously, how much more of the same thing can we really see? Because this is a show where it kind of feels like there is really not any hope. If you look at all of the finales of the previous 2 seasons and how those wrapped up, and you're like, she's finally gonna get out. No, she's not gonna get out. But they kind of try to weave in these little bitty moments of hope where we see like June and Nick's baby is able to get out of Gilead, and we see that Beth is able to, but we see that, I'm trying to remember what happened in the first season, because the baby escaping Gilead was in the 2nd season. But yeah, and we saw Moira escape in the 1st season, and Emily escaped with the baby in the 2nd season. So we kind of get a little bit of hope weaved in there, but not a lot of hope, because June, who's like our protagonist, like the main character who we're supposed to care about, just can't seem to get out. And it kind of makes me think of the show A Series of Unfortunate Events, totally different show targeted towards children, but that is a show that also just has this feeling of despair and hopelessness, and that's kind of how The Handmaid's Tale is. So by the time we get to season 3, I'm going to tell you guys, this was probably the hardest, as we finally get into season 3, the talk, the discussion, the meat of season 3. This was probably the hardest season for me to watch. I told you guys the first 2 seasons, I pretty much breezed through them. I was hooked, didn't come up for air until the final episode of season 2, even though I still felt some type of way about how season 2 ended, and I still had some issues with season 2. Way more than season 1. I would have to say season 1 is probably my favorite season of this series. But season 3 really did a number on me. It was just so hard for me to watch. And to the point where it's like, now I'm invested. We're in season 3. And I have abandoned shows in a 3rd season. Not going to lie, but for The Handmaid's Tale, because I'm just like, I know that there's going to be something on the other side. And like in season 3, the other side was the finale episode, but it took so much to get to that, that it was just like, I mean, you're talking about a 13 episode season. And also how I watched this was different from how I watched the first 2 seasons, because I binged those first 2 seasons. So I did them in one sitting. or not one sitting, but in like grouped sittings and watched it in a binge format, whereas I did not realize who released the show week to week. So once I found that out, and because they dropped the first three episodes, and I was like, okay. And I was like, where's the rest of it? And it was like, oh, no, catch a new one next week at like 9 p.m. And I was like, okay, no, that's not going to work. And I just, this show, how, for some reason, how it was set up in this season, when I tried to watch it week to week, I just could not do it. I couldn't. So I had to literally wait and watch it every other week. So therefore, I was watching two episodes in a sitting. And then the final couple episodes, I ended up watching pretty much almost week to week. So the finale I watched on its own. But in general, I was just like, I was struggling watching this. And I don't know if it was because of how it was spaced out and I couldn't just make myself sit through it and figure out what was going to happen towards the end of it. But I think also the other main thing that was irritating for me was June. Oh, girl, she got on my nerves. Mind you, I've never been a fan of June in this series, too, if I'm going to be completely honest, especially when we get into season two. I've always thought she was selfish, and I just have a thing about selfish characters who only think about themselves. But in this third season, her selfishness was on times 3,000. I was like, I can't do it. It's just too much. I feel like she has tunnel vision and she's not seeing how what she does has consequences for everyone else. And it's like, girl, you're not the only one whose child got taken away from you. You're not the only one who got put into this manufactured city, forced into a house, forced to sleep with these men you don't know, forced to bear children that you probably didn't even want. Like, you're not the only one. There is an entire country, it sounds like, because they're moving towards the West. There's an entire country of people who are in the same position as you. You are not the only person. Oh my gosh, she got on my nerves. I was so done. And I was just like, I can't. I cannot. It's really, I don't know why. There's a few shows that have protagonists in it who are selfish, and that's just one of those things that just grind my gears. And so I was just like, oh my gosh, girl, no, I cannot. So all that, like, she's trying to get her daughter, she's doing all this stuff, put her daughter in jeopardy, and then she ends up getting her daughter sent away and her freaking Martha killed. And I'm just like, girl. And then all this back and forth between her and the freaking Waterfords, and then all that stuff with Serena. And like, Serena, I've never really had sympathy. Some people have sympathy for Serena and some people root for Serena. I just, okay, we're gonna be real. I don't really root for anyone in this show at all, because I think they all have very bad things about them that just does not let me root for them. And like, Serena, seeing Serena get what was coming for her towards the end of this, when Fred pretty much was like, oh, so you also want to think about yourself and you want to throw me under the bus? Oh, okay. I got a trick for you. I'm going to throw you under the bus. So now they both sitting in Canadian jail with nothing. And I was just like, I'm sorry. I don't feel sorry for you. Like, when she had her whole droopy moment, where they're going through the moment where she was super upset because Nicole, the baby, was gone and she was depressed and all this stuff. And we didn't know if her and Fred were going to stick around. And then she like did a 360 and was like, we're going to go up against Canada. We're going to get my baby back. And then she did another 360 and she's like, oh, I'm going to take my husband onto the Canada grounds and turn him over so I can have, like, first of all, that's not your baby. And that is also something else that just really, like, I just feel like everyone, and it's always been like this, but I feel like it was super heightened this season. Everyone is just like, not even thinking like, oh, this is my baby. Like, no, you force these women into the situation. You made them have these babies. It's not your baby. This isn't an adoption situation. They didn't sign any forms. You force them to do all of this. Like, no, this is my baby. Why does she want me? And then when she's in Canada and she's like, oh, and calling herself Nicole's mom, and then the social services is like, oh, don't say that because you're going to confuse her. And then she has a smile on her face. It's like, yeah, girl, she's not your daughter. And then, like, when they were trying to get the baby back, and it's like, June sent the whole tape and was like, yeah, I am the baby's mother, and freaking Fred is not even freaking Fred. And freaking Fred is not even the baby's father. Her father is actually Nick. So therefore, they really don't have a claim on this baby. So that whole thing, I was just like, "Are you guys are so delusional. I don't get it." So I have to say that I literally do, I just don't root for pretty much anyone on the show, especially the people in Gilead. The people in Canada, like, I'm like, yay, you got out. So, like, it's not really that much more for me to root for because you're kind of in a safer situation than everyone else. But, like, you're cool. We're on good standing. But that's also another thing because it's like all these, like, we have Emily, we have Moira, we have freaking June's husband who, poor soul. Like, whenever this is all over, like, who knows how freaking Luke and freaking June are going to work this out, because there's just going to be trauma and PTSD all around, even for the baby, for their, or not just, not the baby, like Nicole, but she's way too young to, like, if this all ends before she can actually understand, then she'll be fine. But, like, Luke and June's daughter, like, she gonna be messed up too. So who knows if they'll even be able to get through that. But, like, even then, we don't, like, I feel like we did get a lot of moments in Canada this season. And we kind of got a little bit of a glimpse of what was going on, like, especially when we had the episode where we kind of got to see how Luke and Moira were dealing with Nicole when she first arrived. But, like, it's still very surface level and we don't really go that deep in with them. And so, yeah, I mean, overall this season, I struggled to watch it. I had a lot of issues. I feel like we're kind of doing the same thing over and over again. I feel like June has a GOP complex on 10,000. I feel like I'm timesing everything by thousands, but it's the truth. Like, she has a God complex and she has done a lot of things that any other sideline character on the series would have died for. They would have been hung for. And somehow she just slips through. So that brings me to the other thing that I want to talk about from that interview that the creator, Bruce Miller, did. And he talked about what happens now, because in the finale, we see freaking June actually follow through on her plan to get a ton of the kids out of Gilead. And we know that the whole reason and purpose that Gilead was put together was for to create the next generation for kids, because there is a fertility issue that is happening and that is the sole driving purpose. So she decided to stick them where it hurts the most, and she took like 50 plus kids and she actually got them out of Gilead. She didn't get out of Gilead, of course, because what would that look like? But she got all these kids out. And we also saw, Rita. We also see Rita is also out. She was able to get out with the kids and she is in Canada with them. So we know this is not going to fly. We saw the rest of the handmaids who were left in Canada, because it doesn't look like any of the handmaids got out. It only looks like a couple of Marthas got out and then all those kids. So we see them because June ends up getting shot by one of the soldiers. And so we see the handmaids find her and then they carry her off and then it's like fade and we're done. So we know that the shit is going to hit the fan heavy in season 4. I don't even know how June can be like, show her face, because she should die immediately. If she was the mastermind, there is no way that she should survive this. I just don't see how, unless they come up with some other dumb cockanoo story about how this all happened and try to shift the blame or whatever. But I just don't see how she gets out of this alive. And Bruce Miller was talking about that it was going to be, they haven't really mapped out season 4, but they do know that there are going to be very harsh consequences for what happened. And I don't know what that's going to look like. I honestly don't know what that looks like, because if she's not dying, then I don't know what that looks like. And honestly, I don't think I can do another season of like season 3 where we were just, it feels like we were just spinning in circles. And you guys know I love to talk about the length of a season. This was one where I was like, we could have taken out a couple of episodes just based on how we ended things, because we didn't need it. It just felt like we were like spinning our tails just waiting to get to this finale episode. And so I don't know. I need them. If you are listening and you have any part in creating or writing or directing or producing, or like you can even just be standing on set and be like a PA. I don't care. If you are have any part in this show and you are listening, I need you guys to take a step back, especially like the writers, the writing, all that. Take a step back and be like, okay, let's go back to the basics. Let's go back to season one, because season one, I think, was solid. It still has some issues, but season one, for the most part, was solid. Season two was where it started to shake, which is normal for a season two of a show. Then season three was just like earthquake, the middle fell out, and then they try to put it back together. And it's like, it's kind of like a card, like when you take a stack of playing cards and then you create the little like castle or whatever with them. And then you like are doing card by card by card. Then you put that one card on and all the cards fall. It was kind of like that. Season three was just, it was a mess. I'm going to even take a step back and be like, what is the end goal? And then the fact that like, I get it, because this is the TV industry and nothing is guaranteed ever in TV and television, because you could be a hot show one season and you can be all the way at the bottom the next season. And so then therefore you're canceled. But like, I'm gonna need y'all to do some planning and plan out where the story is going. I just have to believe that someone knows what the end goal looks like. Cause right now from where I'm looking, I can't tell what the end goal looks like. Does the end look like June dying? Does it look like her escaping? Her family getting back together? Like, what does the end look like? I'm gonna need them to map that out. And then let's fill in the gaps and figure out how we get there. Because I can't do another season of Spin. I literally cannot. And don't get me wrong, Handmaid's Tale is still going to get all of its nominations and all that good stuff. Because, I mean, look at Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones last final season was like wobbly at best. And they were still getting noms. So, I mean, Handmaid's Tale is still going to get the nominations. But I feel like they need to take a step back, look at what the end goal is, figure out what actually the end. And I'm like being for real. Figure out what the end looks like. Is that season four? Is that season five? I hope it's not a season six. Oh my gosh. That literally just came across my brain. I was like, oh my gosh, I really hope it's not a season six. But look at what that looks like. And then fill in the gaps, map it out. And let's get the story back tight and right. Because season three was a struggle. I feel like I just went on and ranted a lot. But yeah. What do I want to see in the season four? I honestly want season four to be the end. I'm sorry, but I might be the only one. I might not be the only one. I feel like after this season, I'm most likely not the only one. But I want season four to be the end. I want us to reach a resolution. Because if season four is not the end, then we got to move around. We got to get out of Gilead. Like, we kind of left Gilead a little bit this season. But, like, we got wars and stuff happening, it sounds like, in the Midwest and all that. So, like, let's see what some of that looks like. Let's get a little bit more of what's going on in Canada. Like, what life like that looks like. Kind of just to get us out of Gilead. Because when we were in Gilead, it just seems like the same old, same old. And I just want something fresh and new. Or, like, just not repetitive. I don't know. And June, girl, I just can't. I can't do another season of June like this. I seriously cannot. But yeah, I mean, what else? I don't know. That's all I have to say about this show. I feel like I've said enough. I want to know what you guys thought. Let me know what you thought about this season of Handmaid's Tale. Or let me know what you think about the series in a whole. Because, I mean, I haven't talked about it before. You can let me know by tweeting me, or you can comment on the Instagram post related to this episode. But I will talk to you guys in the next episode.
Stay up to date on new episodes by subscribing and following. You can find Currently Binging on multiple listening platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. Take the discussion beyond the episode by following on Instagram @currentlybinging and on Twitter @